After 2 hours of non-stop hammering, Tommy finally cracked. The pressure came from fear. Smith and Rogers were angry and seemed perfectly able and willing to slap him around if not outright shoot him, but also from the horror of wasting away on death row before finally getting executed. And it was obvious to Tommy that he would not be allowed to leave until he gave the cops something. After 5 hours in the room, he was exhausted, confused, and almost paralyzed with fear. He made a mistake, one that would send him to death row and eventually cost him his freedom for life. Tommy decided to play along. Since he was completely innocent, and he assumed Carl Fontenot and Odell Titsworth were too, then give the cops what they want. Play along with their fiction. The truth would quickly be discovered. Tomorrow or the next day, the cops would realize that the story did not check out. They would talk to Carl, and he would tell the truth. They would find Odell Titsworth, and he would laugh at them. Play along. Good police work will find the truth. If his dream confession was sufficiently ridiculous, how could anyone believe it? Didn't Odell go in the store first? Sure. Why not? Tommy said. It was only a dream. Now the cops were getting somewhere. The boy was finally breaking under their clever tactics. Robbery was the motive, right? Sure, whatever. It was only a dream. Throughout the afternoon, Smith and Rogers added more and more fiction to the dream, and Tommy played along. It was only a dream. Even as the grotesque confession was happening, the police should have realized they had serious problems. Detective Mike Baskin was waiting back in Ada at the police department, sitting by the phone and wishing he was at the OSBI in the thick of things. Around 3 p.m., Gary Rogers called with great news. Tommy Ward was talking. Get in the car, drive out to the power plant west of town, and look for the body. Baskin raced off, certain the search would soon be over. He found nothing and realized he would need several men for a thorough search. He drove back to the police station. The phone rang again. The story had changed. There was an old burned house on the right as you approach the power plant. That's where the body is. Baskin took off again, found the house, picked through the rubble, found nothing, and drove back to town. His goose chase continued with a third call from Rogers. The story had changed yet again. Somewhere in the vicinity of the power plant and the burned house, there was a concrete bunker. That's where they put the body. Baskin rounded up two more officers and some floodlights and took off again. They found the concrete bunker and were still searching when darkness fell. They found nothing. With each callback from Baskin, Smith and Rogers made modifications to Tommy's dream. The hours dragged on. The suspect was beyond fatigue. They tag-teamed, back and forth, good cop, bad cop, voices low and almost sympathetic, then bursts of yelling, cursing, threatening. "You lying little son of a bitch," was their favorite. Tommy had it screamed at him 1,000 times. "You'd better be glad Mike Baskin ain't here," Smith said, "or he would blow your brains out." A bullet to the head would not have surprised Tommy. After dark, when they realized that the body would not be found that day, Smith and Rogers decided to wrap up the confession. With the video camera still unplugged, they walked Tommy through their story, beginning with the three killers riding around in Odell Titsworth's pickup, planning the robbery, realizing Denise would identify them, so they grabbed her, then decided to rape and kill her. The details on the location of the body were vague, but the detectives felt sure it was hidden somewhere near the power plant. Tommy was brain dead and barely able to mumble. He tried to recite their tale, but kept getting the facts mixed up. Smith and Rogers would stop him, repeat their fiction, and make him start over. Finally, after 4 rehearsals with little improvement and their star fading fast, the cops decided to turn on the camera. "Do it now," they said to Tommy. "Do it right, and none of that dream bullshit." "But the story ain't true," Tommy said. "Just tell it anyway," the cops insisted. "Then we'll help you prove it's not true." "And none of that dream bullshit,"